I started to name this the Tide Church, but I decided to name it the Untied Church. Once Brother Reed, when he was superintendent of the district here, had some handbills printed up advertising the district conference. And United Pentecostal Church of the Arkansas District Conference, Redfield, Arkansas. But the printer misspelled United. And it read the Untied United Pentecostal Church of the Arkansas District Conference. If you're bound, we'd hope to see you loose tonight.
Amen.
Sometimes they used to pray around the altar. I haven't heard this in a long time. Loose him, Lord. When I was a kid, I thought they were saying, goose him, Lord. Because about that time, they... But I finally told one Mark I hadn't heard in a while. Well, I believe this thing ought to be free.
Amen.
Free flowing.
Yes,
reaching out.
Yes,
touching somebody.
Amen.
Releasing somebody.
Amen.
Glory. Have you seen ministers preaching sometimes? And maybe walk down in the congregation and just while they were preaching, they didn't say anything in particular, but just put their hand on somebody. And just a mere touch, something began to happen. Praise God. I would that everyone we come in contact with would feel what we're preaching about.
Amen.
I do not think it's scripture that we have to wait until the altar service for someone to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm ready for Pentecost to break out. About 120 here tonight. I'm ready for it to happen all over the place. Loose them, Lord. Hallelujah. From the 6th chapter of Acts, I don't usually care what they say, but I'm hoarse. From the 6th chapter of Acts, the church is just getting started, actually. And trouble arose. What would we have done for the Lord if we could keep trouble down? There's always issues. And as Brother Greenway was talking about, many times issues that you could not put your finger on in the Word of God to save your life. And it's absolutely all right to have private convictions.
Amen.
For instance, if you thought it was better for you spiritually to not drink coffee, then help yourself. Don't drink any coffee.
That's right.
But don't get on to me if I take a little sip, okay? Inasmuch as that's not covered in the Word of the Lord. But it is good to have convictions. In some cases, you could look at it almost as a fast. You know, some of our neighbor churches, that soon in this approaching season of Easter, they give up different things for Lent. If I was going to give up anything, it'd be collard greens. But there are times that you can give up certain things because you feel it's best for your consecration. And consequently, come out on top for the Lord.
Amen.
A young couple visited us the other day, and they visited Sister Linda and Havis, and I understand they're buying your equipment for mud dolls, ceramics. But they came into the church just a few years ago and wrecked her. And they made a consecration immediately, and I'm not preaching this as a doctrine. I'm telling you what happened to this Brother Dave and his wife. They purposed that they would tithe and give an equal amount in the offerings. That's in Russell and Joy's church. Now that would be, if we were making such demands, that would be heavy demands. And some of you are thinking right now, I couldn't do it. And I don't do that myself. But this couple purposed in their heart they were going to do it. They were on a very low living scale. They didn't have anything. And that couple has prospered over the last 3 years until it would be staggering if I told you the amount of their tithe and their offerings that are giving each week into that church. Now, if they were doing that in order for God to return them to them fourfold or something, then it probably wouldn't work. But since they did it from their heart, God seems to just be blessing them every way they turn. The saying is, you can't outgive God. The Scripture says, relative to giving to people that were in need, Paul said, let your gathering together be on the first day of the week. Some people won't pay tithes except on Sunday because they think that's what Paul was talking about. He wasn't talking about tithing. He wasn't talking about the building fund. He was talking about a special offering that was going to the poor Jerusalem saints who had given everything and now were in despair. And he's taken up an offering to be sent to those people. And he's simply a matter of convenience. He's telling them, let your gathering together or your offerings be accumulated on the first day of the week when he was going to be there, that there be no gathering while I'm there. Not spend all day taking up offerings and pledges, but we'll have it all arranged and taken care of. Again, just a simple understanding of another part of God's Word. But I'm telling you that you can't outgive God. In that passage, he said, after he told them to give, and he was insisting that they give liberally, he said, knowing that the God of grace is able to turn all grace to you, towards you. When you give, you keep in mind that the God of grace is able to turn all grace towards you. Now, how'd you like to be under the spout where the glory comes out? Whatever you do, whether it be testifying or preaching, Brother Mark, can I tell you a little bit about our conversation we had tonight? You mind if I repeat just a little bit of it? You don't mind, do you? Won't embarrass you. Brother Mark Wednesday night was a little bit discouraged. And he didn't feel like his ministry was being accepted as he wanted it to be. He hasn't had many calls, and he's got a desire, and has had for several years now, to do something for the Lord. And we had some face-to-face, plain talk, pastor to saint, and Jonelle was with us. And so I instructed him. After he said, what can I do? I said, preach with feeling. Put your heart in it. Don't try to recite a sermon that somebody else has preached. Don't try to preach something that you get out of a book that Matthew Henry or John Wesley or somebody else preached. They had their day and that day's gone. As far as I'm concerned, all you need is a Bible and a dictionary and maybe a Bible dictionary and a little history book. That's a good enough library. I'm not about to preach some of them sermons that fellows preached 200 years ago that didn't know anything about the name of Jesus or the power of the Holy Ghost. I think we're right in the middle of what God's church should be right now. Now, in the early stages of the church, anyway, I told Brother Mark that, and this morning he took a few minutes of the Sunday school lesson. And everyone in our class knows that he put his heart into it and he blessed the congregation. Praise God, because he accepted instruction. You know, a holy man loves godly instructions. Instructions. Now, in this case, and I must hurry along, the sixth chapter of Acts, in those days, When the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Now, that's terrible that churches enter into a phase of complaining and murmuring. But this happened in the earliest stages of the church. By this time, there were thousands of people in the church at Jerusalem. I mean, it grew fast. Now, all the ministry of Jesus was not unfruitful. His 3.5 years of ministry, you say, but after all that, and after all the healings, and after all the things that happened, only 120 waited. That's true. But the days that followed, 3,000, 5,000. And if you knew the true story, it would probably be 10,000, 30,000, 80,000, because it mushroomed. But along with the growth of the church came some confusion. And the murmuring people came and said, there is prejudice in the church. Some of the ladies, some of our widows and so forth are being neglected, while the Hebrews are seeing that their widows and needy people are well taken care of. And what are you going to do about it, preacher? I'm talking about a church that might be tied but needs to be untied. Now, some things will tie the church. Brother Sam, you mind playing like the church tonight?
No, sir.
Come up here, will you? Praise God. We'll just call him the church. The church is usually referred to as a lady, but tonight it's Sam.
All right.
Ronnie, you're good at working with me. Come up here. Now, we don't have any twine. We want to use some imaginary twine. Okay? I want you to tie everything onto his coat. Hook it into his coat if you have to. Tie it to that telephone pole right there. And tie it to this seat back. I mean, as I mentioned things, I want you to tie him up. The church. The things that would keep the church from efficiently operating.
That's good. All
right. Now, the first thing, I read it to you here, they begin to murmur. Tie a rope around him. Tie him up good. Now, he's hindered somewhat. Mm-hmm. He's somewhat tied. I asked James today. He said he didn't like to wear a necktie. And I said, you're not the boy that they put a necktie on. He stood all day. He thought he was tied to a post, are you? But right now you're tied, church, because of murmuring among the people.
Amen.
Murmuring indicates jealousy. Jealousy is cruel, like the grave. It gets out of control. It'll kill it'll run a family. I know a lady that forced her husband into selling their television, not for holiness' sake, but she was jealous of the television. I mean, she was jealous of everything. She didn't want him to play the television or play a phonograph. She wanted all of his attention. Jealousy is cruel. I admire a person that may clean up their house for holiness' sake, but don't play holiness when your motive is something else. Don't play holiness and beat the fire out of somebody. Don't call that standards, whoever does it. Don't call that standards and curse somebody out. Don't call it standards and have a fight with every businessman in town. Don't brag on your standards and do things that you ought not do, or you ought to be tying him up all this time. Amen. I mean, we want to get him so bound, tie everything onto his outer garment right here, this coat. Just tie him up good. The church bound. God don't want the church bound. He wants healings and miracles and glory. God wants a shout in the church. He wants power in the church. But the church can be tied down. I'm not going to stop on being tied. After a while, we're going to loose him and let him go. We're going to get rid of these ropes. We're going to get rid of this bondage. In this case, the apostle said, I tell you what, look out seven men full of the Holy Ghost, and we'll appoint over these matters, that they may take care of these natural things, and that we might give ourselves to the ministry and to prayer. Hallelujah. And to the word of the Lord. So, wherefore, brethren, look ye out seven men. Honest report. Hey, honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. This is not a God-called office. This is appointed office. Appointed to take care of these needs. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, the ministry of the Word, and to the ministry of the Word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. You know anything about Stephen? Stephen, a man, here's what it says twice about Stephen. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They chose Philip. It doesn't say that he had faith and full of the Holy Ghost, but at the beginning it said, look out seven men full of faith and the Holy Ghost. You know anything about Philip? I don't know how good he was at serving tables, but he turned out to be a pretty good preacher.
Yes,
he went to Samaria and preached Christ. If there ever was a time, we need to preach Christ.
That's right.
That's
you know what the word Christ is? Anointing. The anointed one. Something you can feel. You can't do that, brother, church, if you're bound up.
That's right.
Something you can feel. Something that touches your heart and touches your life. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ. And in so doing, devils were cast out. The miracles were performed. And some people believed. And he had a baptizing and baptized them in Jesus' name.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah. He wasn't tied up. He had liberty. He was going forth as the Lord wanted him to go. Now, Stephen and Philip is not the only ones. However, they're the only ones that the Scripture gives us much knowledge as to what they did. The other five, Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, these seven men they chose. We don't know much about the other five other than the ones that I talked to you about, Stephen and Philip. Now, historians say, this is not in the Bible, but historians say that Nicholas backslid. Or he started a little group. And he taught lay rule. I mean, like that hire and fire preachers. And if that's so in the book of Revelation, it talks about one of the churches that had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. One preacher was preaching about how harmful it is to have these Nicolaitans in the church. Historians believe, even Josephus believed, that Nicholas started the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Lay rule. Tying the preacher's hand. You better tie him up good. Because the preacher represents the church, really. A church never overcomes what the preacher is. Often somebody says, how's your church doing? I say, fine, considering the pastor they've got. The church never surpasses the leadership. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, elders, whatever. A church never goes beyond what the pastor is. That's the reason I feel that we need to do more. God would have us to do more, to gain more souls. But when the saints begin to rule, you better tie them with a big rope. The church can't move forward. I mean, there's problems it had. Now, when sin begins to creep into the church, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. I hear that there's sin among you. Paul writes, sin. Yeah, to the church. Sin like the Gentiles don't even have. Ungodly, unclean sins. You think that church can do anything really for God when there's fornication and adultery that's going on? It may have gone on in the past, but say, it can't continue.
That's right.
You think the church can really gain people for the Lord when there's all kind of bickering and fighting? Maybe we've had our problems. Maybe we have. But every time you have a fight inside the church, you're tying another rope around this church that healings are not taking place, that miracles are not taking place, that the gift of tongues is not operating, that the gifts of healing are not operating, that the gift of prophecy is not operating. The church being tied. What in the world are we going to do? We want the church set free from the bondage.
Amen.
Away with murmuring. And now just leave it on there. We'll fix him. He needs something better than that old tattered garment. He just needs to change clothes. The church, if it's got some things wrong with it, just needs to be set free. Praise God. Let's just take the whole thing off. Got a clean shirt on? All right. Praise God. That gets rid of the bondage, the ropes, and everything else. Why don't we just put a clean robe on him? Untie. Anoint him. Like a mantle, giving him power. I'm talking about the church. The church should have power. Power to heal the sick. Power to cast out devils. Power to take up servants. Power to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. Church, church, church. Let the seven men take care of the natural things. Amen. Let those that are appointed take care of that. But church, you should be free. Free to preach. Free to labor.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory. Free to win souls.
Yes.
To come together with worship, not a show. Come together with enthusiasm. Spiritual enthusiasm.
Yes.
Not a hoorah like a ball game. But a real worship that comes from the heart. Every member of the church should worship. Praise God. All 10 of them. Worship. Praise God. Glory. Worship. Worship. Sing.
Praise the Lord.
Sing, church, sing. Sing when the saints go marching in. Sing it.
Go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in.
Church is on the move. For when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. It's a marching church. It's going forward. It cannot and will not be stopped. The church is free. The church is untied. Come here, church. Come here, saints.
Yes, I do. Hallelujah,
Jesus. It's praise a testifying church. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord. The Lord's been good to me.
The
Lord took me out of sin when I didn't have any way out of sin. The Lord took me out of sin because I said I wanted to get out of sin. I made up my mind that I wasn't going to sin anymore. The Lord took me out of the bar. He took me off the bar stool. He put me on a church pew, and I thank the Lord for it. Hallelujah.
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 It's a preaching church.
Oh, hallelujah. Remember, just give me a few minutes, Brother Rutledge.
Preach.
Remember, there was a man in the Bible named Samson, a mighty man of God. At one time, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. A man that took a jawbone of a donkey, killed 1,000 men. But what happened to him? He laid his head in the lap of the world. He laid his head down for a woman. Sometimes we lay our head down in the lap of old Satan and don't even know it. How long has it been since you felt the Holy Ghost run up and down your spine? How long has it been since you felt the Almighty God touch you? Praise God. Samson, we know in the end, lost his victory. But he told him, God, let me feel your presence one more time. With his eyes gouged out, he said, God, let me feel your presence one more time. And he said, and he killed more. He killed more the last time he had killed all of his life. Friend, remember this. When you lay your head down in Satan's net, you may not get up from there. For the wages of sin is death. He that knoweth to do good and doeth the not is sin. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us.
Glory. And everybody said amen. This man, the church, is representing every one of you born-again people. I want you to think a minute. Do you know of anybody in this building that needs a touch of God? I mean like healing. Did you know Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. Not just the ministry, believers. Every believer. They shall cast out devils in my name. Have you took on a devil lately? Don't try to whip them. Cast them out. I've seen people with an evil spirit frothing at the mouth and carrying on in a terrible way. And some of our precious people think they've got the Holy Ghost and holler, they got it, they got it, they got it. That's the kind that don't last till noon tomorrow. The Holy Ghost is sweet. The Holy Ghost is pleasant. The Holy Ghost is love.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Speak with new tongues. Other tongues. The church. You. And you. And you. I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues every day, but it'd be all right. Wouldn't be anything wrong with it. Just don't let anybody teach you how to do it. Let it be done as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Speak with new tongues. Take up serpents. When I do, it'll just be like Paul when he was marooned on this island. It'll be an accident on my part, though God might have planted it there.
Me too.
I'm scared of them. Snakes. Someone said there's two-legged snakes. I'm not sure about that. But if it was, that's the worst kind. That's not all. If they drank any deadly... What glorious protection. You've been selling cancer policies. But that don't keep anybody from having cancer. It'll only pay some on the hospital bill. And if you got some policies, maybe a little bit after you're dead and gone. I got a $10,000 policy on that van I bought if I get killed with my seatbelt on. Some of you folks follow me around, fasten it real quick. I'll never know where it paid off or not if that should happen. I didn't buy it. They threw it. I guess I bought it, but I didn't know I bought it. They threw that in.
Jesus.
All right. If they drank any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, there ain't no insurance company sell you a policy like that. And they shall lay hands. Who? They who? Just preachers? Just apostles? Just the people of the first generation after?
Says he that believeth.
Going to all the world and preach the gospel? Turn my collar down. That embarrasses me. That coat looks better than that. Believers. I want you to think a minute. Who are you?
Believers.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
Repeat it. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
You know what you just said? I've got a right to lay hands on the sick.
Right. Amen. It's in the book.
I've got a right, a Bible right, to lay hands on the sick with a promise they shall recover.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand, church. This is unusual. We don't mean to embarrass anybody, and we're not talking about salvation right now, but it'd be mighty good if when someone laid their hands on you, if you'd receive the Holy Ghost tonight. But if you know someone that has an affliction and you feel like doing it, you've got a Bible right, believers. Of course, you shouldn't just grab somebody by the head when you go downtown and start praying for them without giving them a little instruction first. Tell them what's going on. Brother Mark, 3 or 4 years ago, called me down to the Pine Bluff Nursing Home to have a healing service. A lot of those folks are dying. He announced the pastor would be there to anoint them. So I anointed different ones. Come to one black sister, and she's sitting there in a wheelchair. And I anointed her head. And she said, "It ain't my head, it's my knees." Well, I prayed for her. God didn't put any limitation on what He could do. He's a good God. But I'm just trying to stress tonight the church has some, they have more to do in this than they think they do. I mean, you got a right to cast out devils in Jesus' name. Never had any experience like this? Sister Rutledge and I were fishing in Hastings one time, and a big old cottonmouth snake, it seemed to me like he as big as my leg. I imagine he as big as my arm. But he looked mighty big, coming toward the boat with his head sticking high. And he was, I believe that rascal was going to get in the boat with us. I had my paddle ready to fight. But I thought of something. And I said, "Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get out of here." He turned around and went just as fast as he could. Just like that. You say, "I don't believe that." That's all right. Go ahead and doubt. Amen. I've got scripture where Jesus talked to rocks and to animals, to creation. Glory to God. He gives us a right to lay hands on the sick with a promise they shall recover. Who's got nerve enough to just move through the congregation tonight? And someone that you know needs a touch of God. You don't want to offend them, that's true. But they won't be upset at you if you obey the command of God and you walk over and lay hands on someone that's sick or afflicted. You feel like doing it, help yourself. With a promise, they shall recover.
Praise God.
Not just a preacher's affair.
Praise God.
Oh, may
people. Praise God, praise God. Praise and thanks of God. Praise and thanks of God. Praise and thanks of God. That's it, that's it. Come with it, come with it, come with it. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Come with Missy. Come on, girls.